Too much, Diane?
Just right.
It's really echoey up here. Really bad. Yeah. Okay. I didn't expect y'all to come into line so fast. It was Jim's commanding voice. So for those of you that don't know me, oh no, there goes my CNI dogs. I'm Scott Ward. Thanks, Margo. I got the text on Tuesday from Gary Bob. It's still really echoey up here. And he says, hey, I'm in an elders meeting and found out we don't have anybody for Sunday. What do you think? He's like, sure. Sure. Couple things. Mark Franklin's funeral was mentioned. And I was there, actually. I read the obituary. When I first met Mark and Shauna, Dylan.
Working on it.
Thanks, buddy. Okay. I knew Mark was troubled, and I was pretty sure he wasn't saved, but that's not me to judge. That's better. Okay. Somewhat. So I kind of felt like I was supposed to come alongside him, and turns out it wasn't my job. He wasn't ready. But it was really, really nice to see that the Lord brought the right person in at the right time. And he accepted the Lord before he went. And that's really all that matters. You know, sometimes you're the seed planter. Sometimes you're the one that waters the seed. And I like to think sometimes I'm the bulldozer that clears the land. I don't know. One of the old guys from men's group used to say I was the weed puller. I don't know. But that was really a blessing to see that and to see the transformation, or hear about it anyway. And I know Shauna is really grateful for it, because we watched that in her. We had them both at the house, and we talked, and when Shauna got ready, she accepted the Lord too. So I want to talk a little bit too before I get started about the Keurigs. There's a lot of talk about that, but I got a call the other night, asked to serve, and then, hey, who else? And it's something that we need to think about. There's some guys in men's group that are thinking about it. Right, Tim? Yeah, I know. It's a really good program. The other thing I want to talk about just for a second is JTB. Tracy was going to be gone, so we were able to miss Becky. Decided to pick up the torch in the kitchen, and that's awesome. I'm pretty sure we're going to have horses this year. That looks like that part's going to work out. I am wondering about Bruce Becker. I don't know if he'll be back here in time.
I don't know if he went.
Okay. He may not be gone yet, but you know... But that's a whole other thing I'm going to talk about later, because that accident I don't think was an accident. I did talk to Maniachis. Joanna walked out of Tractor Supply, and I just said, "I'm recruiting." She said, "Yes." I didn't get to say any more. So the other thing is, the last time I talked, I talked about waiting on the Lord. And I brought up my daughter, Samantha. And then a month later, baby Georgia, who was born a month early, 28 days early, she showed up. So she'll be, her acting debut will be in JTB, in the manger scene this year. She's over there with my cousin / sister. So I guess before I ramble on any farther, I want to pray and commit this time to the Lord. So, Father, I thank you for the opportunity. We never know exactly where you're going to take us. And there's some comfort in that, knowing that, Lord, you are in control. And I pray, Father, that you would speak through me and that your word would be heard, whether I monkey it up or not. I pray, Father, that you would bless this whole congregation and those that are listening online. Thank you for all you do. And I give you praise and thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. That being said, online, hi, Ralph. I hope you're watching. You said you were going to be. I expect to be critiqued later on today, the phone call. Okay, back in September, I spent the night on an 85-foot boat that belonged to the boss with intentions. We're headed towards Florida, which I wasn't going to be on the whole time. I'm the mechanic. He wanted me to be on there and make sure everything was good for the first leg. So we get to Muskegon. We were supposed to leave at 5:30. That didn't work out. We left at 7. We get to Muskegon about 9 o'clock that night. So in the morning, Rusty Gage, who was camping, he come down and picked me up. And we get in the car. And he says, hey, we're headed back towards Grand Rapids. He said, we're going to stop at the truck stop and have breakfast. I'm like, cool. Sounds good. So we had breakfast, we get out, and I said, we better put fuel in this car. So I go to get out, put fuel in, and there's a piece of paper laying on the ground. Actually, this piece of paper was all folded up like so. It was laying there. I thought, I'm going to pick that up and throw it away. Well, I happened to open it just enough, and it looked like maybe something, for lack of better words, religious. I wrote down something spiritual. So I folded it back up and said to Rusty, I think this is something we might want to read later. I get back in the car, I said, did you read? He said, a little bit. I don't know. He did end up reading the whole thing eventually. So I got back home, I forgot about it. And then we come to church Sunday, and listen to Mr. Stephen Troop, who I need to take this to. Give me a minute yet before you turn it on, please.
Fair enough.
So I read this poem, and I read it again. I thought, wow. So I'm going to have Stephen read it. And this is in a truck stop parking lot in Muskegon. Whenever you're ready, sir.
The title is It Didn't Just Happen. Things just don't happen to children of God. They're part of a wonderful plan. The troubles, reverses, the sorrows and rod are strokes of the great sculptor's hand. When some dread accident strikes you a blow, and you worry and fret and demand, why try so hard the mystery to know? It's not just an accident, it's planned. Have you been dropped from a place of power? Do you wonder and reprimand? Don't rebel, but look to him in that hour. This didn't just happen, it's planned. Persecution, tribulations come down like a storm. Friends disappoint and withstand. At last, all alone, bewildered, forlorn, you look and he smiles. This is planned. Do you wonder why God to affliction should call and why you must suffer and moan? No man should be moved by affliction, says Paul, for you know it is part of the plan. Did some dear one sicken and finally die? Did your heart break with anguish and woe? Did you question your Lord and cry, my God, why? Don't question. He planned it just so. Things just don't happen to the children of God. The blueprint was made by his hand. He designed all details to conform to his Son, so all things that happened are planned. No matter what happens to those called his own, events that are awful or grand, every trial of your life he sends from his throne. Things just don't happen. They're planned.
And then on the bottom. Yeah, and on the bottom of that also, it says Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God to them who are called according to his purpose. And then on the bottom, it gave his contact information. So distributed by Gordy Stroven for contact and gives a phone number. Well, I don't know if you know me or not, but I'm that guy. So I called him. I'm getting a little mixed up. But let me go on a little bit first, I think. Yeah. So that might sound scary to some who are new in the Lord. But you know, God knows what will happen. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's happened. He's got it all under control. And he also knows how we and or those around us will act or react. Nothing happens that he don't know about or allow. And I've also said before, sometimes things happen for us, not to us. And that can be very instrumental in shaping us. So what happens to us is important, but how we handle it, that's more important. And I think I could spend a long time breaking down and discussing this poem. And believe it or not, this is really not what this talk is about. Kinda. But what I really want to talk about is the contact number on the bottom. It's Gordy Stroven. So I call him, left him a message. He left me a message. We finally talked. He said, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. He said, I was in the gym. I said, okay. Well, he's a 92-year-old Korean War vet with one foot. So I asked him about this poem, if I could distribute it up here. He said, yeah, I got to back up just a second. I wanted to go back when I talked about what happens to us is important, but in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, or in the NIV says that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So that just kind of goes behind that poem. You know, things might be seem rough, but he's got it under control, and there's a reason he does what he does, or he allows what he allows. So anyway, Gordy said, yep, go ahead and use that. And then he told me he was on a cruise a while back, and he gave it to somebody in the Philippines, the poems in the Philippines. He also told me that he told his friend that he wanted to get a copy of that to Charlie Kirk's wife. Friend says, I think I can get that done. Gordy says, next thing I know, I get a phone call from Erica Kirk. And she said, thank you so much. She said, I'm going to keep that in my Bible. And so when he's telling me all this stuff, he also went on to tell me he's had cancer 3 times, died twice, went to heaven twice. And I know as I'm listening to him, I'm pretty sure I'm standing there with my fly catcher open. You know, it's like, what? Okay. So when I was asked Tuesday to speak, I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And then I thought, oh, here we go. We're going to talk about this. So I called Gordy back to see if there was a copyright or anything that I could read this online, you know. And he said, no. At the bottom of the poem, it says it was by H.E.M. Snyder. Well, if you go online, it's online under a little bit different title, and it says author is unknown. So anyway, he says, go ahead. But same thing, we played phone tag again. And he said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm on a cruise with Dr. David Jeremiah. And I looked it up, and they're somewhere between England and Canada. And he said, now Dr. David Jeremiah has the poem. He said, and he's having fun with it. So what I really want to talk about, all this is awesome, and I should spend more time on a lot of it, but here's what hit me, is Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And the way I see it, old Gordy's shining pretty bright. He knows his job. That's what he's doing. And he's serving the Lord wide open. He's heaven bound with a hammer down. You know, he's getting it done. And I thought to myself, you know, look at what he's told me. And the other thing, he says, can I have your address? I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to publish my book's getting published here coming up. He said, I want to send you a copy. Well, when I talked to him the second time, it is in fact published, and he's going to send me a copy of his book. I would love to have him come up here someday. I don't know exactly where he lives. He's downstate someplace. Because when he found out that I found it in a truck stop, because he's like, well, where'd you get it? I'm like, laying on the concrete and parked in a truck stop. So anyway, I was just floored by his zeal for the Lord. And I thought, how great is that, you know? But what does it mean to let your light shine? Our actions, words, and behaviors are a reflection of our faith. And all this hinges on accepting the Lord, accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And once we have and receive the Holy Spirit, we take on Christ. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. It reminds me of our grandkids. They were at Camp Pennesega last night for the Halloween thing. And last year, my now then 3-year-old grandson puts on a Hulk costume. And he walks over to his race car bed, and he's going to pick it up because he's Hulk, he's strong, he put on a costume. Obviously, that didn't work. But the difference is when we take on Christ, the works that I do, you can do also, he says. And I thought, okay. And then in John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So what struck me as I was reading these in Matthew 5, it says, let your light shine. Well, to me that implies that it's already there. Once you've accepted the Lord, it's there. That is, if we don't hinder it. So how or what would we do to dim our light? Maybe unconfessed sin, bitterness, practicing sin, pride. And I find it interesting. Pride is the only sin that doesn't recognize itself. Unforgiveness, and on and on. There's many things. Putting yourself on the throne and not him. But the other side of that is, how do we keep ourselves from casting a shadow on somebody else's light or putting somebody else's light out? I think it's real important, and I have to be careful myself. I don't ever want anybody to think less of Christ because of me. I think that is, we are set free. We need to act like that. And the other thing is, what can we do to make our light shine brighter? Number one, I think, is I heard one time the acronym for joy is Jesus, ourselves, Jesus, others, yourself. Jesus first. He's got to be first. excuse me. Read the word. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, you got to remember too, if you have the Spirit on you, it needs to be fed. You may not understand, might not understand it, and like I said before, if you don't understand reading the Bible, that's okay. There's so many people that read it online. And I mentioned last time I was up here, I wanted to take in the word when I was at work, and I put the earbuds in, and I let Darth Vader read the Bible to me, because James Earl Jones is one of them speaking. And I'm like, how cool is that? The other thing is, we can't be dragged down by our past. Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And that's pretty important. And you know, if you've heard me before, you've heard this before, but I can't get through a speaking engagement up here without talking about plowing. Luke 9:59. He said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." He said, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." Okay? You got the handles in your hand, you're responsible for about that much sod in front of you. That's it. You're looking forward. You're not doing this, because what happens? If I'm looking back, I'm potentially changing the direction of my future. Straight ahead. And then back in Luke 9:23, he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." So, again, last time I spoke, I didn't really call it a challenge. I just said to you, tomorrow morning when you wake up, or do it in the parking lot, ask the Holy Spirit to take control of your thoughts, your mouth, your eyes, your ears, your actions. And I'm telling you, if you do that, you know, you think, well, we have the Holy Spirit. No. Purposely ask, and you will find, oh my goodness, I missed that. Maybe it wasn't necessarily so bad. It wasn't necessarily so good either. Going to go to. So, if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you what it says in Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. If you haven't done that, I don't know what you're waiting for. Because we're running out of time. And there is no homelessness in eternity. Smoking or non-smoking, it's your choice. Heaven or hell. One more thing here. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But here's the other thing that always gets me. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He had plans for you. He had plans. He was planning to shape you one way or another. Me personally, I was a hard learner. I've talked about this right here. I wasn't the greatest guy. This was my slap alongside the head. And I'm different. And it's the only good in me is him. And you know, I've told you before, a lot of times I'll have a plan and then I'll pray, Lord, if you got something different for me, let me have it. And a lot of times it does happen. It didn't. But this morning I woke up with a song in my head that I probably heard within the last week, but there it was playing. Just the chorus line, or like I call it, the punchline. Greatly blessed, highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Well, that's something cool to wake up listening to, you know. I can't always change a channel in here. Sometimes I can. Remember, God loves us and wants the best for us. Closing thoughts. I wouldn't normally recommend calling a phone number that you find in a truck stop, okay? It's probably not a good idea. But that worked out. And I thank God for Gordy. I'm praying for Gordy and the inspiration of him, because he's serving. He knows his job. And Bruce Becker. You know, Bruce Becker, we talked about, I don't think for a second that him not being able to go then was a coincidence. I think that it was part of the plan. Sometimes things happen for us and not to us. And as dark as it is in this world right now, it don't take much light to shine. It could be simple as a hello, or helping somebody do something. Sometimes, you know, do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, you know. I guess I'm out of notes. So if you don't know what God's plan is for you, ask him. If he don't tell you, ask somebody else. Most people already know what your job is. You know, I know Sandy's getting tired of me saying this, but look at Sandy and Nancy and some of the other gals that bring stuff in out there. Diane does that. She'll take care of people. Marcia, the food, the things. I'm telling you, nothing says I love you like butter and sugar. I'm telling you. You know, if you don't know what your purpose is here, somebody else does, because you've shown it. Let your light shine. I like the idea. I've never met a cookie I didn't like. Father, thank you for the time. I'm unworthy to be up here, but Lord, I am a tool for you. I pray that folks here would get something to chew on and just think about this week. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them and think about the prayer needs we have here. I thank you for Mark Franklin, being able to accept you, Lord, and come into your kingdom. Pray that as we go through this week, Lord, we would put you first. Lord, we love you, praise you, and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Music team.